From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Measles is considered a disease that was eliminated from the United States back in the year 2000. However, cases have been popping up all across the country. In fact, there was an outbreak in Florida just last month that included several cases linked to children at an elementary school. And earlier this week, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention sent a team to Chicago to help with cases there. So, why is a disease that had been gone for close to 20 years back on the rise? And what do we need to know about this? Joining us today to talk more about this is Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. And remember, if you have public health questions, send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Hi, Dr. Pate.
Hi, Gemma.
Okay, I'm beginning to feel like a broken record. We keep talking about measles. But Dr. Pate, why should we not turn a blind eye to this, maybe kind of get numb to these really frequent and it seems increasing reports of measles outbreaks?
Yeah, I think that the big reason is that while people tend to think of a lot of these childhood infections as not being a big deal and perhaps even as beneficial because it might build the children's immune systems and all, both of those are wrong. Measles is responsible for, and if you go back before we had the vaccines, which are extremely effective vaccines, we would have 400 to 500 children die each year in the United States from measles. And it was the number one cause of death for children globally. And so it is a dangerous disease. And even for those children that don't die, there are a lot of potentially serious health consequences from measles. So you're not doing your child a favor by letting them have measles because of some natural immunity. It's really harmful to them. And we are so blessed to have a really highly effective vaccine that two doses gives the overwhelming majority, close to 100% of people, lifetime immunity, it appears. So it's just not a good idea to ignore this. And the other thing that why we shouldn't ignore it is children don't get vaccinated for measles until they're generally past their first year of life. But if they get measles in that first year, that is the group that is most likely to develop very serious consequences from infection.
Okay, so staying with that then, Dr. Pate, I just read recently that when we look at all of the incoming kindergartners from this most recent school year across the country, their immunity rates for measles is down quite a bit. So can you talk a little bit about that in regards to, you know, people who choose not to get their kiddos vaccinated for this? I mean, you really are potentially putting other children at risk, and maybe kids that really cannot be vaccinated. I mean, I think about kids who've had cancer, right? Or maybe they have certain autoimmune diseases. I mean, things like that, where you almost need like this kind of herd immunity to keep everyone safe.
Well, Jimmy, you're so right. And that is the principle of herd immunity. Herd immunity has been applied to COVID. That it is not a good model to think about with COVID because we haven't developed true herd immunity. Herd immunity is exactly what you described, and that because measles is the most highly contagious virus we know of. It's airborne. It can be in the air before and after that you would enter in a room if there had been somebody else infected. So it is a dangerous virus. And so the idea is we vaccinate enough people that those few people that you're talking about, immunocompromised, don't make a good response, are vulnerable, so that they're protected. Because as you mentioned in the lead up, we eliminated measles back in 2000. We just didn't have any cases here in the United States. And now In just the first 3 months, we are very close to exceeding the total number of cases we had last year. And so, but to get that herd immunity, we need at least 95% of the population to be vaccinated. And so it makes a real difference if there's, even if it's a small minority of people, but if it's not going to get us to that 95%, we're not going to have the herd immunity and not going to protect these vulnerable people. And so that is a big danger. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is we've had an anti-vax movement going on for decades now, but it has picked up steam. It has particularly picked up steam during the COVID pandemic. And unfortunately, now we have people in local government, people in state governments, and even people running for president that are anti-vaxxers. And this is very dangerous. This could set us back 100 years in terms of the medical developments that we've made.
You know, it's always interesting to me, Dr. Pate, when you talk about people who make the decision to, in particular, not vaccinate their children. I always kind of think about, well, you know, the likelihood is you were likely vaccinated, right? Your parent made that choice for you as a child. They vaccinated you. That's why we've been able to, you know, we were able to eliminate measles. And now yet, you know, you make the choice to not vaccinate your child with having the privilege of being vaccinated. Is that a fair assessment, or am I being just very prejudicial?
Well, I do think it's fair. On the other hand, we have seen some examples, like with our outbreak that we had here in Idaho in Nampa last year. There was an adult that was unvaccinated. So apparently that adult also didn't get vaccinated and then made that choice for his children. He got measles. He ended up seriously ill in the hospital and ended up infecting his children. And I think as parents, we need to take advantage of those things that are the medical developments. When I started medical practice, it was something like 80% of children with leukemia died. Now it's more than 80% survive. We've made so many advancements, and parents don't hesitate to take advantage of those advancements. We need to do the same thing with vaccines. The unfortunate part, and I really don't blame these parents, other than I would like to get them help with better critical thinking and how to get reliable sources for information. But what we have is a lot of people spreading disinformation, and it is, especially if those parents are not looking at good sources and diverse sources of information, they may be led down this path of conspiracy theories, disinformation, people that are benefiting financially from getting people not to pursue vaccination. That's not right. That's why we have to stand up and make sure parents have good information, and so that they can make an educated decision.
Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, is there a bigger issue going on here than just, hey, we're having measles outbreaks because, you know, we just don't have that herd immunity in certain situations, as you mentioned?
Yeah. And I think it goes back to this, you know, I said anti-vax movement that has morphed, and it's morphed into an anti-science movement and into a so-called medical freedom movement. And look, I've always felt like Americans that are competent to make medical decisions should have freedom to make those medical decisions. But that has to be coupled with giving people good information, because if you're spreading disinformation, you're manipulating people. That's never the way to right way to give them medical freedom. I have had a few patients in my career where I advised them strongly about a particular course of treatment. they decided against it, that's their right, but they had mm-hmm. the information and they knew the consequences or potential consequences of their decisions. Unfortunately, so much of the disinformation is getting through to people and they're not getting the good information where they can actually make an educated decision. And now we're kind of mainstreaming this with this has come up in the presidential running. We got a Republican candidate who's saying they'll withdraw funding for schools if they have vaccine requirements for school. We have to have vaccine requirements in school. Mm-hmm. Goodness. And then we got a third party candidate running who is one of the most prominent anti-vaxxers. And that person has just indicated their vice president choices are going to be anti-vaxxers. I think what we have to do is we have to get back to the times where medical decisions and science are separated from politics. This is a dangerous combination when we start tying your health decisions to what political party you belong to. That's really bad. And it, frankly, it has hurt Republicans these past 4 years. If you look at which group of people by political affiliation have been harmed the most number of deaths and so forth from COVID, it's been those in that party. It should not be that way.
Mm. Dr. Payne, I want to turn to a message that Central District Health sent out recently, and they are warning that pertussis, or better known as whooping cough, is on the rise. So for folks who may not be familiar, what is pertussis?
So pertussis is a bacteria that is transmitted when we breathe and cough in shorter areas than what would happen with COVID. So usually people within that close contact area, but it can be easily transmitted because the people with whooping cough or pertussis are coughing. And so they will mm-hmm. spread that bacteria. And we have a very effective vaccine for that. Before the vaccine, we would have about 200,000 cases in children each year and about 9,000 deaths in children. Now, the vaccines can essentially prevent all of those deaths. And I know that people have gotten worked up about vaccines for children because of the discussion of COVID, but let me point out that pertussis or whooping cough is more than 11 times more lethal to children than COVID. So whether you are for or against vaccinating kids for COVID, we're talking about a whole different degree of illness with pertussis. And this is a problem that, again, if we're not getting people vaccinated, then this is going to be a problem because it can transmit this bacteria, which causes a very distinctive cough mm-hmm. With a whoop in it that has given it its name.
So, Dr. Pate, are young children the most at risk for this?
Absolutely. It can affect anybody of any age, but younger children, because their airways are smaller and different, they get it worse. They are the most likely to die from this, whereas older, young adults and older adults mm-hmm. usually get more of a cold. But young children, especially under a year of age, are very vulnerable. They are at greater risk of developing pneumonia, being hospitalized, and dying.
I only have about 1 minute left with you, Dr. Pate. So if you or your kiddo is diagnosed with this, how do you treat it?
So what the problem is a lot of times people don't recognize what this is until they develop this distinctive cough. And So the problem is it's most easily treated before they develop the cough, but then you hardly ever realize what it is until they get the cough. But we do have antibiotics, but they're most effective, again, really early. That's why it's so important to vaccinate. And it is difficult to diagnose. We do have some tests we can do. but it's not easy like a strep throat or that kind of thing to diagnose. But if what we have to do, the best thing is get vaccinated. Make sure your child has been vaccinated. If you're pregnant, make sure you get vaccinated at the beginning of your third trimester, because you will make the antibodies and you'll pass them on to the baby to protect them during some of the highest risk time of their lives.
Well, as always, Dr. Pate, so appreciate your expertise on all of this and coming on the program. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We've been talking with Dr. David Pate. He is the former CEO of St. Luke's Health System. Remember, if you have a public health question for Dr. Pate, you can send us an email, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.